Lord Jesus, we thank you for being in our life. We praise you, Lord, for your guidance upon all of us. Lord, we ask and we pray that you fill us up with your Holy Spirit tonight, so much so that there's nothing but you left. We ask that you cleanse us all unrighteousness out of each one of us. And let us not see anything but the holiness that surrounds us because you're in us. And Lord, let our lips be nothing but an oracle of you. And that the words that come out of our mouth, Lord, are straight from you. And we praise you, Father. Let every one of us, Lord, seek that sanctified life of holiness and walking with you, Lord. And let each one of us, Lord, place it in all of our hearts to seek you every day in quietness and humility and love to understand that we're in perilous times in the world. But in you, we have peace and we have joy and we have rest because we know, Lord, that you're in charge and we don't have to be anxious for nothing. And Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight. Lord, I don't want to be a leader of nothing. I just want to follow you, Lord. And I know everybody in here wants to follow you, Lord. And we ask that you lead us tonight into the things that you want us to talk about and not what we want. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Anoint us all, Lord, to be led by your Spirit. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Okay. Is Chris on here? Well, hey, Angelica.
Hey, brother.
What's up, girl? Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, we do need to pray for something. Chris sent me a text earlier. Maybe not pray for him, but I want everybody on here to believe with me. His wife's Uncle Butch has been diagnosed with several kinds of cancer, and they're putting a heavy dose of that medicine in him to get rid of it. And he says that he believes that Butch has repented and he's good with the Lord. But his wife, asked that we in UBM pray for him. And so that's what we're going to do. We all want to pray and we're going to believe for Uncle Butch in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, we lift up Butch Nestor to you. Lord, you know everything there is to know about Butch. We thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to Butch, bringing him into the kingdom in a mighty way. And since he is a child of God, we know he has all the benefits of the promises that Jesus gave us in the gospel, Lord. And I thank you that we do have the authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I come against that spirit of cancer on Butch, and I command it to go and every vestige of cancer to leave his body in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of the fear of cancer off of him and the family in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of death off of him in the name of Jesus. And I command every cell in his body to be healed by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Uncle Butch Nestor is healed, delivered, and set free from the enemy by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Butch. Does everybody here believe that? Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Got a prayer request.
I'd like to lift my son up again in prayer, Aaron, for he that he can find a job soon, since he the other one didn't work out for him out in Ypsilanti. So, Father, again, we lift him up in prayer to help him find a job that he needs to continue on with, to help him fulfill his financial obligations. Thank you for hearing our prayer.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that Aaron's job is waiting on him. In the name of Jesus, Lord, direct him right to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anybody else? I want to pray for my wife, Jeanette. She had a colonoscopy. I can't pronounce that word. She had one of them things. And they found 5 polyps in her stomach. And they sent the, what you call it, off for diagnosis to find out if she's got cancer. But we know what God says, don't we? And in the name of Jesus right now, I command those polyps to dry up and go out of her stomach in the name of Jesus. I command her stomach to be normal in Jesus' name. I command the polyps to go and all the effects of it to leave her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Jeanette so she can see the miracle working power of your love in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in her spiritual, in her spirit, Lord. You're getting closer to you, Father, and that's a great, great thing that you're doing in her life. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you've got her on the run. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Anybody else?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Leonard. How's it going, brother?
Real well. Would you please pray for our family, my little kids? They came down with some really terrible stuff and just coughing and hacking a lot, and it's just really eating them up.
Leonard, you broke up. Who are we praying for? Your kids?
Yeah. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
So, yeah, they came down with some really bad stuff, bronchial type, you know, just real bad coughing and wheezing, and it's really hurting them quite a bit.
Okay. All right. Well, let's put our faith together. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against this spirit of infirmity on every one of those children. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command that spirit of infirmity to go from them, and all the effects of that infirmity to go from every one of those children. In the name of Jesus. And we command joy, peace, and rest in their heart that tonight they would get a good night's sleep. Because you're a wonderful and loving God that would do that for all of us. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the work that you're doing in the Galchenkos right now, Lord. We thank you for love and joy.
Thank you, Lord.
And laughter in this household. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all you're doing in Lee and his family. In Jesus' name. I believe it, Lenny.
I do too. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? What about something to eat? Jesus. Go ahead, Gano.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for hearing my prayers. I've been going through lots of spiritual warfare, and I just really ask the Lord for confirmation as to if the plans I was making, if it was in agreement with what he wanted me to do and where he wanted me to be. And I just really felt that by opening up the house in that area was really his answer to me. And it was a confirmation that, yes, that was okay. And Father, I just thank you for hearing my prayer and for giving me that word of confirmation and opening up a place for me to live there. You're an awesome God, and I just thank you for your care for me, for my family, and for all those who are seeking your will and your ways. And I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Girl, we are so excited. Glory to God. There's going to be a bunch of mother hens around you when you get down there in the commune. I'm sorry, not the commune. What is it?
Yeah, I got a text from Greg yesterday when I was out delivering a bunch of squash wherever I could deliver them. And anyway, I was really thankful for that. And it was just such an answer to my prayer, because I really want to be where the Lord wants me to be, and I know that we're not to get ahead of him, and I just was really wanting to know if that move was right or not, and I really believe that it is, that was truly a gift from him, and so that's how I'm seeing it. And I said that to my kids, and even my daughters agreed. So I thought that was awesome.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought
Thank you, Jesus.
So anyway, probably see you maybe in a month or so, or maybe okay. A little
more. All right. Okay. Yeah. Greg's keeping us in the loop. So.
Okay.
We're thrilled and excited. Brandy was telling us about the house. So. You're going to be well taken care of over there.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about that. I thought, oh my goodness, I wouldn't even have dreamt of that. But as I was cleaning out things from my garden, I just thought, you know, he has taken such good care of this, and even those things that came up volunteer, and I thought, yes, and he takes care of his own people as well. Not just this stuff out here, but his people as well. And yeah, just to
get everybody in the loop, down here we have a place over there. What do they call that? they don't call it the commune. What is it, Denny? Denny don't know. What is
family
it?
Family circle.
Yeah, the family circle over there. And there's Judy and Sue, Denny and Debbie, Don and Marlene, Brandy and Amber, all in this one place. It's just a big yard full of houses, and they're all right there, and it's in a kind of a circle.
So that's
why we call it the family circle. They didn't like the way I called it the commune.
And Shay also.
And Shay, yeah, I forgot about Shay. Yeah, Shay's over there too. So and Gano's going to be right in the middle of them.
Yay.
That will be wonderful. Yep. I just thought, oh my goodness, I would have never thought of that.
Oh yeah, it's going to be right there amongst them.
I told
Miss Morton, I said, that's going to be like a bunch of mother hens surrounding Gano when she gets here, because that's what they do. They make everybody welcome.
Right now, I think I could use a whole bunch of mother hens.
Well, you're going to have them, I'm sure. Well, all right, Gano, we're tickled to death for you. We're really excited about you coming down, staying with you.
I am as well. Blessings to you all.
Okay. Well, hurry up and get that stuff packed and get on down here. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, anybody else with prayer requests? Yeah, Angelica.
Hey, brother.
Hi. What's up?
I'd just like some prayer for myself. Just anybody who would like to pray. I just really need to renew my relationship with the Father, with the Lord, and just draw near unto Him. And sometimes I'm not sure exactly how what that looks like. And so I just like prayer for the Lord to draw me near, and this would happen quickly, because I'm in sort of in a dry spot. So I just would like prayer.
Okay. All right. Remember that old song? Draw me nearer, 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 bless you, Lord. Da da da. I don't remember the rest of it. But okay, let's pray, Jane Bianca. Let's lift up our faith for her. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Angelica to you. Lord, she's running at you, but she's kind of in a dry place right now. I'm asking, Father, that you would drop down, touch her, fill her with your Holy Spirit, so much so that there's nothing left of Angelica, that it's all you, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus, Father. And I ask also, Lord, that with that, that your love would just permeate her whole being and put her into complete rest. Rest that you're in control. There's no anxiousness with you. There's no fear. There's no confusion. There's no anxiety. And Father, we thank you for doing that for Angelica. Loading her up, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the love and the power of God to overcome all of those obstacles that come before us. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for the work and the walk that you've got Angelica on. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for Angelica in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Father. And I believe it's done.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Jesus. Boy, I feel the Holy Spirit in my bedroom. Wish y'all was here. Well, y'all couldn't get in. You can't get in here. This thing is stacked up so much. Goodness gracious, I barely can get in here and fall on the bed. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
I was holding off on this for a while. Like it's been a whole month. It's a praise report. And it all started one day. I was looking under my left arm here, and there were these red spots, and they all turned into sores, and they started bleeding, and it didn't really, that's a place where it takes a very long time for things to heal, because you can't put a Band-Aid on it, and it started getting real bad, because this was like for a whole month, and started to even like ooze out of there, like this kind of stuff, I don't know if you ever played with plastic models, and they give you this modeler's glue, and if you put it between your fingers and you go like this, you get these long strings that come out, this was in the holes in the sores, and they were getting really deep, and I was going, Lord,
Andrew,
going to the hospital. and I'm just looking at this, and I'm going, I had some of this doctor's tape, and I went and bought some gauze because it was starting to wreck all my undershirts, I taped it to me, and it was the wrong tape. I didn't know there was two kinds of tape. Like there's tapes with edges that can cut you if you put it on. And I had that tape on, so it just worsened it, And I went, oh, man, I got to get this off. And every place where there was that white tape, there was, like, little cuts on the side. So I took that off, And then I said, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to get all these wrecked shirts, you know? So I said, well, I'll tape this 4x4 gauze pad to the under the shirt, you know, and I'll let that just go up against there. And you know, here I'm struggling and I'm looking at this and it started to smell real bad. Eh? So then I went, well, I have to clean this. You know, I had some isopropyl alcohol, you know, you spread on wounds. So I, oh boy, did that hurt. Put it on. But, you know, I had to get it on there, even though I was just touching it a little bit, just to get the smell off. And I would try and wash it. It was so bad, I couldn't even let the water from the shower fall on it because it would hurt if anything touched it. So I'd get a little glass of water, pour it on there, and that would kind of clean it. And lots of Irish Spring anyway. it finally came to the place where, you know, there's 10 just healed scars there, but they're very red, and I'm just glad it's over with now that I can take a shower and wash it off but I'm waiting for that perfect work, because God doesn't leave it until it's all perfectly done. So it's still just 10 scars there, and it used to get so itchy too. And now it's finally all the itching's gone. I don't even know if you guys noticed that there was a couple of times I came on here and I would have my arm in the air like this and I'd have it up like this. And it's hard to keep your arm all the time. And oh boy, it was an ordeal. But when I look back, I'm glad I didn't go to the doctors. They would have probably made me a lot worse. They would have probably, you know, did something crazy, you know, and like take a syringe and try and pull out all the liquid. And
they'd have taken your arm off.
Yeah, they take your arm off. Anyways, it was an ordeal. I lost some. Like, I'd be sitting here, you know, with a face cloth folded in four under my armpit like this, and that face cloth, it just had to go in the garbage. So I lost some face cloths. I think I lost one undershirt, and I'm just praising God that it was done and that I actually went through this ordeal, and I'm going, it's amazing the way you would look at it and go, am I nuts not going to the doctor here? And I didn't want to mention anything to anyone that I was going through this. And the reason why is, you know how you get that tempter saying to you all the time, oh, Andrew, this isn't because of you. It's just because of all the people you know. And they're praying for you and that's happening. And then I went, oh, you're going to get it now, man. And that's what the Lord did to show me that there is answer to prayer. And I'm just praying that he finishes the work and all the little scars go away and it all turned back to pink, you know, and it's not dark red. And that's it. And no more itching, you know. There's just a little bit of itching, but not like it used to be. And praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Andrew, Lord, and we believe with him that those scars are gone in Jesus' name. Amen.
And then after all this, I get this nasty little tickling in my throat. And I say, oh, that's no problem. No problem, man. The Lord's going to take care of that. I've had these tickles, you know. And then it just didn't go away. And I was going, well, what's going on here, Lord? You know, so... you know, sometimes when you go through a big, long ordeal like that, I think you get a little bit weakened. And then if something comes right after that, you gotta contend with it. You know, you gotta look at your verses over there you have on the wall, taped to the wall on little sheets of paper. I always, you know, I like that one, Romans 4:21. He that promised, he is able to perform. And that's God the Father there. You know, and he's promising you something, he is able to perform. And just praise God. I love it so much. I also like that one there where it says, for no word of God shall be void of power. And that's another good one. That took me through this one anyway. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Lord takes us through these little trials every now and then. Don't
we? We're getting a new prime minister this month here in Canada.
What happened to Trudeau?
Well, the election is this month.
On the really?
25th of October. So
okay.
I just pray that conservative get in there or someone else other than the liberals. Anyway, the liberals would be like your Democrats, I believe. Actually, they were very... Trudeau was very, very chummy with Obama when he came up here. Actually, Obama actually, after he was not president anymore, met up with him in Montreal in a restaurant to have a talk about something. And I don't know what it was about, but...
Well, you can believe it wasn't any good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we're fixing to see some stuff here too, so gear up.
Let's pray for that, for Canada.
Okay, go ahead.
Father, thank you for we all come together and we pray about the world events, Lord, because they concern us, the Christian society at large, and there is a lot of Christians in Canada, Lord, and we want to look out for their welfare too, Father. Please give us your grace in that, concerning putting somebody more conservative and more friendly to the Christians, and willing to build that church up there, give them back their freedom of voice to take away all the liberal agenda and that's been going on over there, the Antichrist agenda. Father, we ask you that you come against this, just like you're coming against the United States right now with President Trump. We ask for that same spirit to be renewed in Canada, Father. Thank you for helping us on this. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for putting somebody in there that's a populist for Canada. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Denny, what'd you do with Brandy?
We didn't have any audio. We didn't know what was wrong, and so I called him up because they did something with our computer yesterday, and then he had to come over, do some adjustments, and we went to get on, and we couldn't hear anybody. So I called him up, and he came over and did that.
Okay.
first time he said he's seen a conference call like this. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. Maybe him and Amber get on then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to share something about the tactics of the enemy that I've experienced. The enemy keeps attacking me in my mind about a past sin that I've repented of and, no longer... in that anyway. And it's just like, it's like there are times where it's just bombarding me. And, you know how the enemy tries to get you to think that it's you, you know, and, that it's your thoughts, you know, and you cast it down and just, and, so then I think it was over the weekend, I had this dream and I'm like, thinking about this dream, and I said, Lord, do you want me to just ignore this, just cast this down, you know? And he gave me two heads for yes. And then a couple days, two, 3 days later, I had another dream. And it wasn't, there were some things in it that I knew that it was, it's, I can't explain it, but like it wasn't as obvious as the first dream of what the enemy was trying to accuse me of, you know. And I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about this and I was asking the Lord for words about it, because at first I was thinking that it was something that, you know, the Lord was trying to talk to me about or whatever. And the words and just nothing was like really making sense. It was just like questions I would ask and then cast lots, then it'd be contradictory and everything. And so finally I'm like, Lord, I'm just ignoring this. This is the enemy. And so, you know, I just totally cast it down. And what popped into my mind later in the day is it was like the Lord said to me, Missy, the enemy's getting desperate. He went to dreams because he's losing the battle, and he's trying to trick you with the dreams now, you know, and trying to, you know, condemn you and accuse you and everything. And I was like, you know, I was like, oh wow. And it's like the, you know, the enemy's lost, you know. And since then, you know, and you know, a couple times I've done what, you know, David has said about, you know, he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, you know. Anyway, so, you know, I did that a couple times and stuff. And but since you know, since the Lord, you know, showed me that, you know, he reverted to accusing you in dreams and, you know, that kind of thing, you know, because he's lost, he's, you know, he's getting desperate, you know, and stuff like that. And that just really encouraged me. And that just gave me that much more boldness. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. To just really just totally ignore, you know, I mean, you got to cast it down. You can't like necessarily ignore it, especially when it's just constantly at you. He's constantly putting these thoughts in your mind. And but anyway, so, and it's like, and I found too, you know, it's like the enemy, he'll do that. And then he'll get you to thinking about it, about the past, but the Lord says, forget the past, you know? So it's like, and I found that, you know, I really, you know, got to do something to get my mind off that, or consciously really focus my mind on something else so that the enemy doesn't even get me even thinking about the past. Not that I feel condemned or whatever, or, but it's just, you know, you go there too long thinking about it, you know, then, you know, the enemy can really start beating on you. But anyway, so I got victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your overcoming power.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Matthew.
Pray about something. I'm starting my second job Saturday. So, Lord, just give me strength and this, Lord, and thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for helping Matthew out in Jesus' name in his second job. What are you studying to be a brain surgeon?
No.
Okay. All right, brothers. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for all the strength and the fortitude to get through this in Jesus' name, because it ain't going to be long. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Let me pray for the country. Lord, I lift up Trump to you. I thank you for the wisdom, Lord, that you placed in this man. I know he doesn't realize a lot that you're doing in him. he thinks it's him, but we know who's behind him. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for guiding him and directing him in the right way. And Lord, we look for that time when that man of God, that true man of God, comes up and anoints him and fills him with the Holy Spirit. We've had dreams about that. And Lord, I just thank you that it's soon. Because he seems to be just tireless in his walk to get this country back on the Constitution and in a kind of an organized way and get it out of the hands of the enemy. And for Lord, I know that you're the one behind it. I ask for your complete protection around him and his family, that no attack from the enemy could penetrate to our president and his family and his cabinet. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you've given him wisdom to guide this country back to where there is, you are the primary source of our guidance, Lord. And we thank you for that. I know you've told us that you're going to give us at least 3.5 years of this next term for him in the tribulation, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you also are going to bring him into that holiness realm where he'll be, oh my, where he'll be a part of this great awakening coming ahead. Father, we praise you for that. And Lord, I'm asking and I'm praying that you place holiness in this bunch here, that you make it a priority for all of us to seek you and to pray daily, to seek you, Lord, for that guidance for that day, that manna for that day. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else want to pray?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for Trump's rally tonight. We had that vision.
Okay. Yeah.
That morning from dawn that something might be going on tonight, and we prayed it down. So I just want to reiterate that. Lord, we ask you to watch over Trump and all the attendees at the Minnesota rally tonight. Make it a blessing. Make it an eye-opener for those that are still on the fence, and wake the American to the good things that Trump is doing for us, and that God is in him and in what he's doing. So we thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you for your protection on everybody there. Amen.
Amen. Let's tell everybody what the dream, what the vision was. Don had a vision of Trump at this rally in Minnesota, and all of a sudden there was an explosion. And Trump was running out away from it. And Pelosi was there. And she said, oh, my goodness, I didn't think it was going to be that bad. And then she put her hand over her mouth so she couldn't say anymore. So she, in other words, God's telling us, we pray, they're going to let the cat out of the bag. But they're the ones that started this thing. Father, we thank you for exposing everything that these Democrats do, Lord, that is against this country. And Father, we thank you for doing that. And we thank you for your protection upon President Trump tonight, that there was not one part of his body be struck by this, nor his family, nor his cabinet, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anybody else? Sobering times, Ryan. It's your time for prayer. Yeah, Missy.
Well, my thought was is that the Lord would protect everyone that is his elect. If this is something he doesn't want completely to be shut down, but that Lord, that you would protect all your elect, that none of your elect would be hurt, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Supernatural, Lord, and that everybody knows that it was your hand that protected them, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Well, as we're praying here, let's pray for them folks in California, and it looks like Southern Nevada, that they've got the power to, that anybody that's relying on their electricity for medical needs or survival, you know, would be supernaturally protected, and that people would see that their government does not have their best interest in heart, and they would wake up, and that realize that these power outages are a manipulation of some sort. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but that the Democratic-controlled government there in California has just gone haywire. So watch over the people without power, Lord, and open their eyes. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it shut down. It's shutting down all the communications. They've knocked out even the amateur radio repeaters across that area. Thank you, Lord.
Can we pray about that?
What's that?
Can I pray about the communications?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you're in control, Father God, and that all things are yours, Lord God, and so we just bind up all the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, Father God, over the airways, over all electronics, Father God, over everything, Father God, you are sovereign. And we ask you, Father God, that everything that needs to go out to the American people, Father God, and even to the nations, Father God, will go out without hindrance. Even doesn't matter what they do or what they try to do, Father God, on the news networks, to cut off certain parts and all of that, Lord, that it will play just as it was being spoken, Father God, in the ears of those that you need to hear, Father God, these messages, Father, to spare them from the left, Father God, and their brainwashing, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you that that all your people will be able to communicate and have an understanding regardless of what's going on, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, if there needs to be communications there, we ask you to supernaturally, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? I want to, if y'all would allow me, since I got the microphone, professional microphone, I guess you'll have to. I want to give you something out of the Holy Spirit book by Handy Murray, Daily Fellowship with God. Listen to this. This is really good stuff here. I'm just going to, he references some stuff. I'm going to go ahead and read that to sort of come into something that you'll understand. It says, so far, I have been dealing with the divine life that comes to us when Christ dwells within our hearts. This divine life comes from God and is entirely dependent upon Him. Undoubtedly, the fellowship with God that accompanies this indwelling is the first and chief need of the Christian life. Just as I need fresh air to breathe every moment, just as the sun sends down new light every moment, so my soul can be strong only in direct living communication with God. The manner of one day was corrupt when the next day came. Likewise, I must have fresh grace from heaven every day, and I obtain it only in direct waiting upon God Himself. Begin each day by waiting before God and letting Him touch you take time to meet God. To this end, let the first act in your devotions be to set yourself still before God. In prayer or worship, everything depends upon God taking the chief place. I must bow quietly before Him in humble faith and adoration. God is near. God is love, longing to communicate Himself to me. The Almighty God, which worketh all in all, is even now waiting to work in me and to make Himself known. Take time until you know God is very near. When you have given God His place of honor, glory, and power, take your place of deepest lowliness and seek to be filled with the spirit of humility. As a creature, it is your blessedness to be nothing, so that God may be everything in you. And as a sinner, you're not worthy to look up to God. You must bow in self-abasement. As a believer, let God's love overwhelm you and make you bow down still lower. Sink down before Him in humility, meekness, and patience, and surrender to His goodness and mercy. He will exalt you. Oh, take time to get very low before God. Then accept and value your place in Christ Jesus. God delights in nothing but His beloved Son and can be satisfied with nothing less in those who draw near to Him. Enter deep into God's holy presence in the boldness that the blood gives and in the assurance that in Christ you are pleasing to Him. In Christ, you are within the veil. You have access into the very heart and love of the Father. This is the great objective of fellowship with God, that we may have more of God in our lives, and that God may see Christ formed in us. Be silent before God and let Him bless you. This Christ is a living person. He loves you with a personal love, and He looks every day for the personal response of your love. Look into His face with trust until His love really shines into your heart. Make His heart glad by telling Him that you do love Him. He offers Himself to you as a personal Savior and keeper from the power of sin. Do not ask, "Can I be kept from sinning if I keep close to Him?" But ask this, "Can I be kept from sinning if He always keeps close to me?" And you will see at once how safe it is to trust Him. We not only have Christ's life in us as a power and His presence with us as a person, but we also have His likeness to be worked out in us. He is to be formed in us so that His form, His figure, and His image can be seen in us. Bow before God until you get some sense of the greatness and blessedness of the work that is to be carried on by God in you this day. Say to God, "Father, here am I, for you to put into me as much of Christ's likeness as I can receive," and then wait to hear Him say, "My child, I give you as much of Christ as your heart is open to receive." The God who revealed Jesus in the flesh and perfected Him will reveal Him in you and will perfect you in Him. The Father loves the Son and delights to work out His image and likeness in you. Count upon it that this blessed work will be done in you as you wait on God in fellowship with Him. The likeness to Christ consists chiefly of two things: the likeness of His death and the likeness of His resurrection, Romans 6:5. The death of Christ was the consummation of His humility and obedience the entire giving up of his life to God. In him, we are dead to sin. As we sink down in humility and dependence and the entire surrender to God, the power of his death works in us, and we're made conformable to his death. And so we know him in the power of his resurrection, in the victory over sin, and in all the joy and power of the risen life. Therefore, every morning, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And he will maintain the life he gave and will bestow the grace for us to live as risen ones. And all this can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Count on him to glorify Christ in you. Count on Christ to increase in you the influence of his Spirit. And as you wait before God and begin to realize his presence, remember that the Spirit is in you to reveal the things of God. Seek in God's presence to have the anointing of the Spirit of Christ so truly that your whole life may be spiritual at every moment. And as you meditate on this wondrous salvation, as you seek full fellowship with the great and holy God, and as you wait on him to reveal Christ in you, you will feel how necessary it is to give up everything in order to receive him. Seek grace to know what it means to live as holy for God as Jesus did. Only the Holy Spirit himself can teach you what an entire yielding of the whole life to God can mean. And wait on God to show you what you don't know in this matter. Let every approach to God and every request for fellowship with him be accompanied by a new, very definite, and entire surrender to him to work in you. And it must be done by faith. As through all scripture and the entire spiritual life, this must be the keynote. And as you wait before God, let it be in a deep, quiet faith in him, the invisible one, who is so near, so holy, so mighty, so loving. And let it also be in a deep, restful faith that all the blessings and powers of the heavenly life are around you and in you. Just yield yourselves in faith of a perfect trust to the ever-blessed holiness of God to work out God's entire purpose in you. And begin each day in such fellowship with God, and God will be all in all to you. Praise the name of the Lord. Ooh, Jesus. Yeah, Missy.
Where was that you were reading that out of again?
Out of this book. Okay. Andy Murray. It's a compilation, actually. The name of the book is Andy Murray on the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be in that book. You've got to. Andy Murray on the Holy Spirit. It's a real good book, and it's a compilation of articles that he's written throughout the years. That's what I understand. And it's a book. You can get it online.
Is that okay? Is it a particular chapter or something?
Oh, that chapter? You ain't going to find it, PDF. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
But it is. It's the chapter on daily fellowship with God, and it's chapter 4. Daily fellowship with God. You might find that, if you type that in.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Okay, anyone else? What's all the chat going on down here? Let's see. Oh, hey, Tracy and Roberta. Praise the Lord. Glad to have y'all. Tracy, you doing okay? She's about to run across the room to get back to the microphone. Amen. Well, all right. What do y'all feel like talking about tonight?
Let's stay on this topic for a minute. You brought this in.
Okay.
Kind of one of the things I was thinking about today. And I actually started rambling on thinking about the last couple of days. is the death we're supposed to assume and take on in our life. So we have newness in life in Christ. We kind of stumbled on a little bit Saturday after you left a little bit, but not that we mentioned it too much, but you know, I made a statement and I had to think about it a little bit, but that, I mean, this death, it's not like we actually die. I mean, we're alive. I'm still here. So are you. We have not physically experienced death. Nobody can say that and still be here talking right now, right? But there's a death to self there. There's that, I mean, you brought up all these things, and even Jesus talked about if you don't lose your life for my sake, you won't gain it. And so I think it'd be nice if we looked at that a little bit, understood it better, because we have this resurrection life. We have yielding to God, done by faith, weighed on God, we're trust, we find our purpose. You know, all this talk, okay, let's hover on this a little bit. Let's get this in. Let's understand it, what this death to self is, this newness of life, this resurrection life. I mean, we experience to a degree. I mean, we start walking in this newness of life. We don't have the sin nature that we used to have. Well, we overcome many things. I have from the Lord. We got this Holy Spirit active in our life. We're more sensitive to the Spirit now than we ever been before. And this is kind of walking that newness of life. But still, the idea of taking on that baptism, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. Reckon yourself to have died with Jesus when he died and raised with him on the cross, you know. That death, whole death idea. Kind of a strange, abstract attitude. Think about it. If you're going to go talk to some believer, well, somebody bringing new into Christ. Well, yeah, we all believe we died in Christ. What are you talking about, died in Christ? They're thinking, that's strange language. That's, you know, they would be thinking to you, looking at you like, you're kind of crazy, aren't you? What do you mean die? Die with dying somebody else? What are you talking about? You know? How are you going to explain it to somebody? What's death mean to self? In Christ? What do you mean by that? Anybody want to expound on this a little bit?
Who was first? I wouldn't watch. Go ahead, Missy. Andrew, pointing at you.
I'm not quite sure. I heard someone. Oh, I think it was something you were sharing, Michael. On one of the Bible studies, I don't remember what it was, but it really. I'm not positive, but anyway, I got this really good understanding. It was kind of like a no-brainer kind of thing, but it just really impacted me. But what I realized is that, you know, many of us, and in particular, talk about myself, that we have a tendency, you know, we have to be careful not to share anything but milk with new believers. And maybe that's something that needs to be defined as to what's milk and what's meat, you know? I mean, I know the Lord said the to do the will of the Father is my meat, you know, in other words, living out. And I think, I don't know, this new believers need a certain amount of elementary teaching, I guess you could say, and all before they can start living it out. And maybe that's something, you know, the whole thing about dying, you know, I died, you know. I don't know. And maybe that's something that we shouldn't touch so quickly with them.
What do you mean by mean? What do you mean you died? Well, explain that. What do you mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's something, you know, you, I guess
let's go we got to find out,
we got to find out, you know, what they understand and what they don't understand. You know, I think it's just, okay, let's just be simple about it. Just being led by the Lord and not thinking that we need to, we got to be careful what we say around young Christians, especially really new ones, you know, just because they will start asking these questions. Well, what do you mean by that? And if it's something so foreign to them, they're going to think you're loopy or something, you know, like you're kind of implying, Dave, and that we just have to be really careful, you know, because we don't want to say things that's going to scare them away from even wanting to talk to us, you know, that we talk over their head and stuff. It's just, I don't know.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's start out in finding out what the flesh is. What, like Dave was talking about. Let's see what Angelica, she's got the answer. Go ahead, Angelica.
I don't know if I have the answer, but, you know, I just, when I was a new believer, you know, every new believer has a different experience in Christ. Everyone's coming out of different sins, different, you know, curses and things of that nature. So I wouldn't necessarily put it off, you know, just kind of come off on like with this this being of like they're new. I gotta not share a certain, you know, revelation. Obviously, we gotta be led by the Lord. But death to self can be explained, you know, very simply in so many different ways. I mean, if you're talking to a new believer and they just got delivered of a devil or something, you know, whatever that devil, you know, whatever these demons are, they came in because of the sin nature that we have. And the sin nature came in because of it's the nature of Satan. It's self. It's very simply put is serving self, the desires of self, desires of the flesh. Desire to, you know, to do this or to do that out in the, a lot of it is outside of the Word of God. And, you know, I would say that when you're talking to someone concerning this, you know, that the world teaches that, you know, obviously if they came to the Lord, and I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous, but if they came to the Lord, they understand that they have sin and that God forgave them of sin. And how did they get so deep in their sin and so deep in the curse? Because they served self. And when they came to the Lord, they understood that I need to be forgiven because of all of these desires, these wicked desires that I have that are not of the Lord, because the scriptures are against everything that I desire. And so denying self is the best way to describe the death to self. Everything, and that looks different to everybody, because some people, you know, some people have more propensity to different sins than others, you know. So, you know, some people, you know, have never been denied anything in the flesh, in the physical, by parents. They've always served self. And so when we look at the scriptures, we understand that our life, just like Jesus, you know, at some point we have to, the Lord opens our eyes that our life is no longer of this world. It's not to serve the purposes of this world, but His purposes. And His purposes are always going to lead to death to self, because we have to He has to undo everything that we've done. And we have to stop serving. Everything that we've done is because we've served self. And so He has to undo that. That, and it comes with the nature, you know. Just for example, if you went to school and you have a degree, well, you have a nature to be self-sufficient. You have a nature to be intellectual. You have a nature to be, questioning, doubting, and unbelieving, possibly, you know. Or maybe you like to, you know, you in the world, you like to climb the ladder. you know, as far as, you know, up the corporate ladder or whatever. These are things, these are natures that need to be worked out. These are self natures that are taught in the world, that are okay in the world, but they're not okay in the world, in the Lord, I'm sorry. And so it doesn't matter what it is. If it's something that is serving self beyond what God wants you to do, you know, then we have to die to that desire, because it's going to get you off the path. And so you can put it that way to a new believer, is just simply denying the flesh, denying the desires that don't lead you, you know, down the path of righteousness. And that can be anything, you know, that can be anything. That's all.
Okay.
Well, I'm a Catholic, and I just give things up on Lent. Is that good enough?
David Nelson. Oh, that's a good point there, Angelica. That's a good way to say it. That self is your lusts, the lusts of the pride, all of those things that God tells us about. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, and this death has to be in identification with Jesus' death on the cross. Two examples, maybe one would be, say, you could live your life not really identifying with the cross, but trying to do good and don't do evil, stop lying, stop doing this, stop doing that, stop. And you could try to control your nature in that way. But in our walk with God, it's our identification with his death. We have to place ourselves by faith into his death. And it becomes our death to such a point that it changes our behavior, because it's actually Christ living in us. So it always has to, you know, or should be, you know, tied back to the cross and our identification with what Jesus did, and to see ourselves that we are in what happened to him. We are in that cross. When he died, we died. You know, it's we are so much in, you know, we're in him, and that's where our death lies. So, hallelujah.
Amen. And that reminds me of that scripture. You know, when Missy was just saying, you know, where Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And everything that Jesus did was in a direct obedience to what the Father had him to do. And so, you know, in our life, you know, we think of it, you know, our lives are very natural in the sense that we have to work and we have responsibilities and things of that nature. But, you know, in our pursuits after having come to Christ, our pursuits have to be to pursue Christ in us, you know, to pursue death to self. And they're no longer the pursuits of the world. They're no longer the pursuits of gratifying, you know, self. There's that scripture that says, you know, she that liveth in, she lives after, pleasure, you know, is dead while she lives, you know, and that's the way we have to see it. We're not here for the pleasures of self, of, you know, the things of the world, the love of the world. That's all the love of the world. We're here simply to bear fruit and to be in a direct obedience to what the Lord has us to do in our life, to fulfill that purpose.
Yeah, you're saying a lot of good things, Angelica, is what, you know. So this is kind of like going to the cross, right? But it's a daily thing. Kind of, it doesn't happen all at once.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, immediately when you said that, Dave, I you need a life to replace the flesh life, and you really should be looking at the life that you want to have, and that life is Christ in you, because not only does he say to lose your life, but you got to gain your life. So there has to be a replacement there. There has to be even the reconciliation tells you of this replacement, you know. And a big one is these uh, these traditions and the religiosities that are out there. You know, this is the big thing you got to have your death to, you know. And I think that behavior is also very important. But, you know, you got to remember here that if you're talking to a new Christian, they're going to say, well, what if I go get an ice cream in my freezer right now? You know, you know, he's going to start panicking, or she's going to start panicking because I'm having this heavenly hash ice cream in the freezer here, and I'm feeding my flesh now. Oh no, you know, and so you gotta really look sometimes at the more important things, such as, did Jesus say this or not? You know, is this part of his life or not? You know, and the religiosities and the, I guess it's the way versus nationalism, denominationalism, and religion. You know, all those items that came against Christ, you know. The leader of Pontius Pilate, Herod, the Jewish people and the Gentiles, you know, they're all summed up in one. That's the one who gave him that death at the cross, but that's the ones you have to be dead to, and you have to be alive in Christ. Because they had a religion or a political agenda that was against God. And that's why I like to concentrate on this new life, just like it says in the all-famous verse that it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So there's a life with the death in that verse. And I think you got to concentrate a lot more on this life, though. Because with the life, you know, you tell your kids to be obedient with that life, you know, it all comes into that agape, that love that you want to have. And that's, you know, if you're paid for, and you're the money that God used to pay you with is the lifeblood of Jesus Christ, then that's what you're worth. That's a simple example for him to follow this life. And he's not even really even thinking about his old life, because he's got an ambition and a desire to follow that new life. And it just, you know, it just happens, you know. And like when you're going through an ordeal, you're going, whoa, look at this. But you're not dependent on self. You're not dependent on the world, but you're dependent on the Lord. And that's what you need to do. New life. Praise God.
But by the same token, we have to understand what the flesh is, what it is to die. And so in order to do that, we have to understand that it's that old self life. It's that old, like Angelica was talking about, it's that old Michael. Michael's got to die. I hear that all the time. How come Michael's got to die? You know, well, it's so that the Spirit of Christ can live and rise up above the old man Michael. And that, you know, that's the way I see it. And then get on that newness of life. Yeah, get your eyes focused on Jesus, because that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Look at Jesus. You're going out the door looking like Jesus. I agree with that. But you have to understand what the flesh and the self is before you can even do that. Go ahead, George.
Hey, I was thinking about it like this, that we're all born into a dead, trespassing body. We're like zombies walking in the world that don't even realize that we're dead. And then we respond to the gospel, and and we have the Spirit of Christ that is, that's who we are. We become a new creation. So when we're born on this planet, we're an odd creation to God. He's called us to be sons and daughters, but we've got to hear the message and respond and be born again. And it's like when we're born again and we're baptized, we come out as a brand new creation. And if you look at it, it's kind of like that, the shadow of that zombie comes out of the water with a very big, huge brain. And our job when we come out of that baptism is to renew our mind, to shrink that brain down until it no longer rules, but our spirit rules over that soul, that old man that the world and the enemy and everything has tried to program and fill us up with these paradigms where we have to keep chopping away with the renewing of our mind to shrink it down so the spirit man can rule and reign, and Jesus can live through us. And that's that death to self, where that old man tries to come back to life and speak and come to the forefront and be the identity. Our renewed mind puts it in check and says, it's just like Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. When the enemy tries to speak, we just say it is written, because we're now programmed with what is written. We're responding to our Father who gave us the message, who gives us his word and gives us life. It's we don't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that comes from our Father. So we deny our flesh and we deny ourselves, and we don't know any other man after the flesh, and we don't honor our bloodlines and everything else that the world holds sacred, but we only value what God values, and we only strive for what his plans, every good and perfect thing that God has for us. So I see that as kind of the new man overcoming the flesh. So I don't know if that made any sense, but it's just what I was thinking about. And before I stopped talking, I wanted to, I was encouraged by Andrew going through his trial, because sometimes when you go through a trial, you don't want to talk about it. It's such an intimate struggle, and the weight of hearing the Father's voice and not contradicting your faith, and really just standing when you've done all that you know to do. You just stand in faith and you're being still and watching God. And I think we all get opportunities like that. And I'm seeing a lot of that in my own life right now with situations. And it's a lot of pressure to just stand on the word and let go of our own reason and our own ways of manipulating and trying to make things happen and be a source to other people. Sometimes people look to us to be the answer to their problems. And I'm finding that I have to give godly counsel, but not stand in between them and their own personal faith and their personal walk with God. And it's a hard thing to do when it's people you love, but you can't live people's life for them. And I'm blessing God for peace, and I'm thanking God for provision and everything. And I'm reminded again tonight that we belong to a covenant God who has entered a covenant with his people, and he is so good. And it's that goodness that leads men to repentance, and it's that goodness that takes care of everything before we even ask for it. So I'm just going to stay dwelling in God's goodness and reminding, just praising God till the end. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, the Lord gave me a word on the book we're reading, the Shepherd's Look. And I was just thinking about that today at work, and had my Bible there, and I opened it up, and most of the time I was just constantly thinking on comparing me, myself, to this sheep kind of life you're supposed to have, like it's written in the book there. And then my finger opened on the page of chapter 14 in the book of Romans, and I read the first four verses, and the Lord said, you see now, Andrew, what you got to put up with if you're going to start talking to any person, you know, who's out there, because that's the verses there where you got to take it easy with some of the new people in the Lord. And you know, he brought out some verses there, like for the first time, you know, you read them all the time, but you know, he brought them out to shine a little brighter for me to see that, you know. And in those first four verses, there's some really good stuff there. And about the one who doesn't eat, not supposed to judge the one who is eating, you know. And it's chowing down on the bread of God, which came down from heaven to give life unto the world. And I just find that it really explains on how you need that patience there, you know. If you're ministering a lot, I think you got to read this chapter quite a bit. If you're ministering to people, you know, and it makes you sometimes wonder, like, we all have family, and we go, well, where are they at? You know, they might not even be saved, but God might be drawing them, you know, because of your prayer, you know. Or and when they do get saved, the drawing even gets to be more. And the drawing never stops to be closer and closer to the Lord. And just a small review of this, you know. I don't know how they do it, you know. I don't know how a pastored, spirit-filled person must have to review this quite a bit, you know, just to put a new light on it sometimes, and look at each word there. Anyways,
why don't you read what you're talking about? Why don't you read it out so we can?
Well, I had the King James, so I'm going to read it in that one. I was going to read it in the numeric, but King James is better because the type is bigger anyway. You know, there's only 200 pages here, two-sided, you know, and we got 44,000 different denominations out of it. How do you get that? Anyway.
That's funny.
I was just about to read four there, so I'm on 14 now. Okay, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, you don't want this new guy doubting stuff, you know. And there's a lot of people who can have talking to these people, and they'll get them to doubt because they're not doing it right, you know. And oh man, it just spoke to me when, and I'm, oh, that's James over there, you know, page chapter one in James there, about doubting. And you know, you can't be double-minded about this, you know. He might be thinking a different way than you're thinking, you know? And
hey, Andrew.
Yeah,
Tracy just put up that Henry Groover just went home to be with the Lord.
Oh,
y'all know who Henry Groover is. Yeah, he was a good man. He was the prayer walker.
Yeah, I remember. I don't know if it was here where you gave some of the things he did there where he used to go and to out of body experiences where he would go to different places all over the world. I remember we discussed that a bit here on the conference call.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I particularly remember the one about when he went to Italy. And yeah, and those two huge demons that he had to confront there. Yeah. So this just happened now, or?
Well, Tracy just put it in the chat that he just went home to be with the Lord. She's going to send that email to me, so I'll get her the minute we'll read it. But go ahead with what you were talking about.
Sure thing. For one believeth that he hath, that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Now, of course, we're not comparing this to anything that's in the kitchen. But, you know, we've mentioned about the meat of the word. You know, there's herbs there. There's milk there. And, you know, this is not talking about kitchen food. You know, if it is, then, you know, I'm going to be the holiest man in the world because I just had some real good meat not too long ago. Anyways, but no Hamburglers, okay? And from the dolls, anyway. Let him that eateth despise him. Him that eateth, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So, you know, here's a little bit of a hierarchy thing here, but you know, sometimes a new Christian always seems to have respect for the leaders, you know, and they don't want to forget that. And the same thing, the leader has a completely different aspect and a different viewpoint here, depending on maturity here. And it's sometimes really hard to try and get to see where you fit in when you're having a conversation with someone. Like, I remember that guy at the bus stop when I was just talking to him about what people sometimes pronounce as being themselves sinners, you know, saved by grace. And then I was saying, well, you see, that's you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. And I remember that, I can't really remember all the conversation I had with this guy, but he seemed to open his eyes a bit. But then he wanted to say, you know all this and you're not saying this to anyone? Just said it, you know, for one thing. But you know, it's you got to watch out for those people who want to send you forth. You got to make sure that this is God sent, not and he's inviting me to his church. And I never did go, but you know, maybe there'll be a day where I might go just visit them, see some, listen to some nice music anyway. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be whole enough, for God is able to make him stand. And you know that you only have a very short break time, and that's about as much as you can probably get through. You read it now, but it goes quickly when you read it, but when you're thinking about it and when God's putting stuff in your mind. And I read those four verses and he said, Andrew, you've been thinking about yourself when it comes to these sheep. What about everyone else, you know, that you're going to have to talk to, you know? And I think that this kind of relates to what we're talking about here about death to self, because this is what you're really trying to talk to them about, is this death to self, where they're at, how they can get on into the faith, you know? And a lot of it has to do with obedience to behavior for them right now, or to know the scriptures. But it actually leads into the healings and the deliverances too. Because they have to be experienced in one area to get at something else. You know, it leads into answers to prayer for like finding things. You know, oh, I just lost something. I better pray to the Lord and He'll show me where it is, and then they find it. You know? And it answers for some of those things. And you know, they get all they're very excited about this happening because, you know, all their life they never had any answers to prayer in the dead churches they're in. And finally they see that they just got an answer, you know. And they get excited, you know, and you know, it's for some of them, if they come from a church where speaking in tongues is there, you know, and they start speaking it, oh boy, man, they get so excited about it, you know, they can speak in tongues for hours, you know, and upon hours. And I remember a pastor telling me, oh, when I started speaking in tongues, then it was for hours, and it wouldn't stop. And so it's these lovely testimonies you get too, you know, and you get these testimonies here that actually make you feel more fulfilled in Christ, you know, because you go, hey, I can relate there. I can see something there that's happening with me now. And it's just a real great help. And that's why I like this conference call. And I'm also going to need to know the number that you can probably put in the chat for Saturday night, because I wasn't there Saturday. And I may have written it down, but I got so many little pieces of paper here, I don't know where it went. So either send us an email or something. I haven't been getting the emails. Like, are there emails going out? Anyway, I'm sure you got my email because I remember.
I got an excuse. Whether you receive it or not, I don't know. If y'all had rather that I'd send you one, there's David's number right there. I can do it, or Dave can do it. Dave, do you have all the conference call people's email?
What I did was last time when I missed that Saturday, and you said, I'll be on. I just been taking that one that you sent out, and just so I sent that out saying, I'll be on Saturday. So to have people's names and personal names and lists, I don't have that, but I just took whatever you had and replied to it with everybody on. If you want to send me, just send me an email.
I'll send it.
Somehow with everybody's number on it.
Well, I'll just send it to everybody that way.
Right.
I don't mind doing it.
That'll work.
Because if you put it in once, they memorize it for you when you're
locked on. Yep. I'll be there Saturday again, so.
You sure?
I'll be there at Michigan time.
Okay. Let me read this thing by about Henry. Henry Grover, 26 minutes ago, said that would have put it somewhere around 9 o'clock. In glorious victory, Henry was received into heaven in the early hour. Oh, wait a minute. In the early hours of the morning, with a saint's welcome. He finished the race strong and entered into eternity fully reconciled in the righteousness of our beautiful Savior Jesus. We celebrate his joyous homecoming along with the great cloud of witnesses. The family will be announcing the schedule for memorial services in the coming hours, and thank you all for your continued prayer and support. Amen. Lord, we lift up the family to you, Lord. We know that they're rejoicing with us about Henry's going home. He's had a long, hard road, Lord, and you were with him the whole time. And I thank you, Lord, that he's home now and he's peace. And he's meeting some of our old buddies up there. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving peace to his family, too. All right.
You know, he got a good welcome when he got there.
Got a what?
He got a very good welcome when he got to heaven.
Oh, yeah. I expect so. All right. Anybody else? On Grover or Holiness. David posted his number up there. Y'all write it down. Put it on your computer.
So we've had some good points here about death to self. I mean, Angelica has some really great stuff
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, great. Go ahead.
I just want to, just as a part of a testimony for my own self, just, you know, the Lord, everyone, you know, the Lord meets everyone in different places, right? So I didn't realize, you know, again, like, I'm sorry, I think it was Brother Andrew was saying, you know, about respecting, you know, not eating meat for their sake of your brother and all this stuff. And, you know, as a new Christian, you're learning, you know, that you're forgiven and you're getting delivered of all these things, and you're learning about the gift of the Spirit. And quite honestly, it's almost about, in your mind, it's still about self, right? Cause you're receiving all these things unto yourself, right? But as you continue to walk and as the Lord, you know, shows you and by the grace of God, like I think he's done for all of us, you know, we try to attach ourselves to different ministries, but he would open our eyes to see wherein, you know, there was error and it wasn't his Spirit. And by the grace of God, we are where we are, you know, part of this ministry, you know, but, you know, having been in this ministry and part of this fellowship, I realized, you know, aside from that, where, you know, it was just about, you know, delivering self and learning of him and knowledge for, you know, for my own, you know, self. And then when I got into part of this ministry, it was like, it was starting for me to understand, okay, I had no idea how to operate within the body of Christ and to love them and in the way that those scriptures were speaking to deny myself and all of my thoughts and all my criticisms and all of my desires to be put first above their own. I had no idea how to do that. Because when you're isolated apart from the body, you know, it's so easy because you're the one, the sore thumb that sticks out, and everyone else is just like, they can't relate to you, you know? And so you're never tested in that way. You don't always have that opportunity, you know, to continually put yourself in the position where you're everyone else, you're putting everyone else before you, you know, like the Bible says, and esteem others greater than you esteem yourself, and denying yourself and serving others to that degree. And it was just kind of like the light went on, like, wow, this is, you know, the Bible says that if we love our brethren, if we love our neighbor, we fulfill the law. But we don't understand always how the Lord's kind of working this out in our lives until we're actually in that situation, you know? And that's been my experience here, you know, having moved to Tennessee, and it's been a hard battle. I mean, a hard battle, but it's not necessarily something that a new Christian is going to understand immediately, you know, but when I realized, okay, this is the love of God, this is what's important to the Lord, is to deny myself for the sake of my brethren. Now, if I understand that my brother, my sister, their faith is weak, or they're not quite so quick to pick up on things, or, you know, their faith is here or whatever, then I'm going to be very careful, you know, to love them, to not offend them, to not push them beyond what the Lord is, or give them more than what the Lord's requiring of them. And these are things you kind of just, you learn as you're in within a body like this. And it's been such an amazing revelation on my part. Like, wow, Lord, like I had no, I, you know, I, because again, your mind is on like gaining your, you have such wonderful victories in the beginning of deliverance and of the power of the Holy Spirit and your anointing and everything. But the nitty gritty comes down to when the loving the brother, right? Because the Bible says that we're either going to be Cain's or we're going to be Abel's, right? So we want to love our brothers. But we don't understand how much death to self is involved in this until you're actually in that situation. And so I just wanted to share that because the Lord has really just opened my eyes to how selfish just the human nature can be, you know, and and that it is a continual, gradual thing. Because in the beginning, it's so, you know, you get delivered, and it's just you know, sin is falling off of you left and right. But you know, we're coming into the name of Jesus Christ, the nature, character, and authority, right? So it's the nature that we're coming into that is not so easy. It's easy to pick up your authority because you have the victory immediately sometimes, you know. But the nature, coming into the nature, giving up your old habits, as long as you've lived, habits, you know, your generational nature, the things that have been ingrained in the blood, the things that you've taught and that have benefited you but are not a part of the kingdom. It's working those things out of you daily, minute by minute, you know. That's the part where I think, you know, people don't realize that's the hard part. You know, it's the nature of Christ. But it's been an amazing walk, but it's not easy. And I just wanted to share that. But I also want to thank the Lord for opening my eyes to that, because I understand how much He values our brothers and our sisters, how important it is to Him that we treat them just as He has commanded.
Amen. That's a good testimony. All right. Anybody else? Did you raise your hand, Barry? Yes, you did. I saw you. Okay. All right. Anybody else? If you had to, go ahead.
I was going to just remind everyone on this great commission that's at the end of Mark. Because, you know, if you go from verse 15, you know, and it says go, you know, and it comes right after he rebuked them for not believing, you know, and then he tells them to go, you know, and he's going to rise into heaven any minute now, you know, and there's key words here, like the gospel you got to preach to the whole creation, even the ones who are going to spit it right back in your face and probably smack you around a bit. And he's showing you the gospel, the teaching of Jesus Christ and the apostles first. And this is the obedience here that's supposed to lead into these other things. I think this has happened at a lot more slower pace for us now as Christianity comes into the way it is, because you know they're not really in the understanding that they can cast out demons and speak in tongues, and if they drink anything hot, or if they take up serpents, it shall not harm them, and to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, they need practice in that. It's this gospel. This is part of the good news. This is part of the gospel. But they usually go for the behavior and what the word says, and what to shun and what not to shun, and that's the huge part of it for obedience, because you know, love never fails, you know. And then it goes on to this other stuff where it does parallel, because you gotta love it, you gotta obey it too, you know. And this is a two-way street in love, you know. He comes to live in you to fulfill these things, this gospel, and he fulfills the other stuff too. He just doesn't give you half of it, you know. He gives you like both sides of this, you know. And I think that's really cool when the Lord showed me that. And it relates, because again, it's getting rid of the flesh and it's giving you Christ.
Amen. That's good, Andrew. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just thinking earlier this week, the Lord gave me, what verse did he give me? I'm going to start up a little farther up than what he gave me. But he gave me actually Luke 3:10. And here we got John the Baptist, you know, coming on the scene. And here we got John, he's speaking to Israel, right?
the chosen ones at the time. God's the first, the ones of the covenant. And he's coming right at him, and he's preaching. He says in 3:3, he says, came into all region around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Right away, man, he's attacking this. He's attacking the flesh. He's saying, hey, you got to get right with God. He's talking about this death. He's just this change of mind, this change of life. You know, he's going after it. And he says, that is written in the scrolls, the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his highway straight. So he's saying, you know, we start getting your lives ready and right with God here. He's not holding back. He's not being, well, you know, I got to be nice and easy on these guys. No, he's saying, this is the way to get to be right with God. And he's not backing down. You know, he's being very attentive to what his message is from the Lord. He says, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. He says, therefore, the crowds who went to be baptized with him, he's grabbing their attention. You also, and he sees these, Pharisees. He says, you, and he's talking to the people too. You offspring of vipers. He's talking about what, your tongues, your mouths. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Wow, he's not being very gentle. And it's a very hard message, you know, for these people to receive. Hey, we're the chosen ones. He says, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say among yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I tell you, God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. He says, even now, the axe also lies at the root of the trees. He's talking about people. Every tree, therefore, that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The crowds asked him, what then must we do? He's got their attention. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. Somebody wasn't telling me the truth here. What do I need to do to get right with God? The people with the right hearts. He answered and said to them, he who has two coats, let him give to him who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise. Tax collectors come to be baptized and said, teacher, what must we do? He said to them, collect no more than what is appointed to you. Soldiers also asked him, saying, what about us? What must we do here? Hey, we got the government. We're, you know, kind of caught in this situation. We got to, you know. He said to them, extort from no one by violence, neither accuse anyone wrongfully. Be content with your wages. As for the people in expectation and all men reason in their hearts concerning John, whether he was the Messiah. Yeah, he's coming up pretty strong. He's got God's voice. He's got God's concerns. He's speaking from his heart, from what the Lord gave him to speak. And John said to them, oh, I indeed baptize with water, but he who comes is mightier than I, the straps whose sandals I'm not worthy to loosen. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Again, when we start hearing the words of the Lord from anointed people, realize this, it's God speaking through them. Don't worship them, but worship the word and pay attention to what the Lord has to say. That's this message here. Don't worship me. I'm not the Lord, he's saying. There's somebody else better and more important than me that's coming to give you this, but I'm preparing the way. He knew his ministry. I'm going to prepare the way. I guess part of that is, you know, there's so many ways we have to look at ourselves and how we're supposed to get prepared for the way, preparing our hearts, you know. And we do that. I pray. Let's just pray. Father, we diligently want to prepare our hearts in the way for you, always making room for you in our hearts, putting ourselves to death so we can be alive in newness and life with Christ Jesus with you. Father, prepare our hearts, prepare the way. Because John came to prepare the way, and we got more Johns coming, and we could continuously embrace this cross and this new life that you're giving us. Thank you, Father, for calling us and preparing our hearts and breaking up this hard ground so we can hear your word and prepare us for this new kingdom life we got coming. But we do this all by faith and grace, and we know that, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's continue. What is this? Is this Thursday? This is Thursday, isn't it? Okay. Well, we'll just use that prayer of days to get us out of here. Hey, Joe, on fire, I don't know if you saw the thing there, but if you'll check Galatians 5:17 through 25, you'll find a list of the flesh and the spirit. Okay. Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah, I got that. Thanks. Yeah, I got that. No. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. We got a couple of minutes. Anybody
else? Got that there this week, too.
Did what?
Got those passages this week also. Walking in love. Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you that you have shown us what the flesh is and what the spirit is. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you want an absolute surrender, just like that book that Andy has, absolute surrender of each one of us to your spirit. And Father, we thank you that you're placing it in us to run after the word of God with all our heart. So we'll understand what it is to walk in the spirit and to walk like Jesus walked. That's what you want us to do. You want us to be Jesus right here on earth. And the only way we can do that is to read and study the word of God, how you walked here on earth and how you taught your disciples about you, Lord. And we praise you for doing that, because we know that we can read that word, we can study that word, and we'll just next thing you know, we've turned into Jesus. And Father, we praise you for all the work that you're doing in each one of us. And just like Angelica says, sometimes when you're out there by yourself, you think you've got it all whipped until you get around a bunch of good, loving saints, and you see for yourself what love God has placed in his people for the people, that we're all servants of God, brothers of Jesus, and king over Satan. And Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Be with us tonight. Give us a good night's sleep. Give us dreams. Give us visions of the things to come. And Father, we thank you for that. Until we meet again Tuesday night, protect us, guide us, and keep us in your stead, Lord. And those that want to attend the Saturday night prayer meeting, Lord, we thank you for bringing them on, Lord, and being a part of a wonderful experience on Saturday night. That's one of my best times. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed.